Okay, Mum, you've obviously been travelling for a very long time. What first influenced you to start travelling?
The thing that first influenced me to start travelling was the fact that when I went to Stonehenge in 1985, no, 1984, yeah, I was so impressed at the fact that you could live in a bus or a trailer that I just badly wanted to have a bus. But it was the freedom and the sense of community
Okay.
that I was particularly looking for, yeah.
Okay. Through your travelling history, is there a particular time that you would choose to go back to? And if so, why?
I'd love to go back to the beginning because
Yeah.
it was just so much fun. It was excellent,
Yeah.
even though it was in the total wake of the Beanfield,
Oh, nasty.
which was horrific for the people that were there. I wasn't actually there, but I travelled with a lot of people that were. Do you know what I mean? But that it was just so much fun. It was absolutely,
Yeah, I can imagine how good
yeah.
it was.
It was a wizard wheeze, as they say.
In your experience, how has the travelling culture changed?
Well, in my experience, it started off, it was really quite easy to. There was a lot of common land, there was loads of green lanes and droves that we used to park on, and traditional park ups. But in the 90s, they all got sealed off, about 90% plus got sealed off by Margaret Thatcher's government. And so, you know, that made all of the travellers have nowhere to go to. So, yeah.
Okay, well, so you mentioned things that we can't do now. Would you still choose to travel if you grew up in the modern day society? If
Yeah.
you still choose to
Even
travel
more
now?
so. It would make me want to do it
Spur
even
you
more
on,
so.
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Well, okay then. What is it that would encourage you to do so then? Just the pure
It's the
anarchy
oppression, yeah, and the pure anarchy of
of
it. It really appeals to me. Although I do have to point out that I do like the Queen for other reasons, which makes me a pretty rubbish anarchist.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got fond memories of sitting with my grandmother watching the changing of the guard and all that sort of thing. So yeah, but yeah, the pure anarchy of it.
Okay. And obviously, if you had the choice, would you do it all again?
I would. I absolutely would.
Every minute of
I would do it all again. I would probably do it better because
it.
I'd have the
I'd
benefit
have
of
more fun.
hindsight. Yeah, I'd make sure I had more fun. I
Yeah.
don't think I'd give my bus away.
Maybe not.
Yeah,
Okay.
no.
Obviously, there was a point where you had a baby on the road. So, did you
Yeah.
find, was there a great difference within your life when that happened?
Oh,
Did
it was
it
huge. When Lolly came
change
along,
for your
that was
life? Yeah.
massive. And I had to go from being a crazy anarchist to a mummy, which was quite a massive step for me. But obviously, it was worth it,
Yeah.
and I wouldn't change it.
Was it? Well, yeah, you said it was a massive step. Did you find it hard to raise your children
It
on
was
site?
difficult, obviously. Back along, we used to have to go out, we used to have to get water, used to go and have to go and get wood. It was before mobile phones really were about. It was tough, it was hard work. Everything. I used
Yeah.
to put Lolly in terry toweling nappies for the first 6 months of her life, and I hand washed those out on site in a bucket with water that I'd gone, like, you know, collected from the local garage or whatever.
Wow.
So it was difficult, it was
Struggle.
tough, it was, yeah, but it was, yeah, the
Okay.
whole day was filled with the lifestyle, if you
Okay.
like. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the lifestyle. Do you think that growing up with our lifestyle made it easier to teach your children certain life lessons and morals?
Absolutely, I think you're all very well balanced, well grounded, well rounded human
Obviously.
beings. Because of the fact that you understand that everything is not a flick of a switch, you have to put effort in, and it made you grow up with decent morals and respect for wildlife. And yeah, I think it was excellent for you.
Yeah, I was going to ask you which morals, but you seem to have covered that one, I think. So, you've lived in many, many places now. Would you say Cornwall was your favourite place to live?
Oh, it certainly is, because we've been here so long, and it's just the easygoing attitude, which, you know, The upcountry ideas are starting to flow down this way, but it's a lot easier going. We used to travel around the home counties, and that was hard work, really. We was always like squaring up with the authorities over that way, and down here it's a lot more chilled out and relaxed. So I would say Cornwall for many reasons, for its beautiful scenery, for its fabulous beaches, and for the folk that live down this way. There are some cracking
kind of folk.
As
a herbalist, you've been approached with many different situations where herbs can help. Are there any situations in particular that spring to mind?
Well, I remember I was one guy, and his girlfriend came to me. He was on the list for surgery. He had an infection in his lung, had double pneumonia, and he was going to have it surgically removed. And he was in he was in intensive care, waiting for the operation. She asked me what would I do. I suggested a couple of herbs to her. Golden seal and echinacea. She went and gave those to him, and she believes that that's the reason why he came out of intensive care, came off the critical list, and didn't need to go into his operation.
Wow.
You know, so that's something else. And the fact there's been a lot of ladies who were threatening miscarriages who would come to me, and I would help them, and they then went on to go full term with their babies, and so those are the sort of things that stick out in your mind as major,
make it worth doing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I just want to get that information out there. Just want to, what's the word really, it's just to rekindle the knowledge, because we all had it at one point not that long ago. You know, it just needs to be, have new breath, like breathe into it.
New
life.
Why did you want to become a herbalist in the first place?
Well, we, as like travellers, which is when I first started dabbling with the herbs, you'd be miles away from a hospital or a doctor's surgery. You couldn't get on a doctor's surgery, being no fixed abode. You wouldn't be able to get like proper treatment. You'd be regarded as a temporary resident. So we very often self-medicated, and that's how I started to get interested in it. Things like slippery elm and golden seal were the first herbs I started to use.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh. And the dogs as well, because you couldn't get to the veterinary surgeon with too much money as well. So herbing the dogs up, like, quite often they would be our guinea pigs. They loved it.
Do you wish at all you did a different profession?
What, to herbal medicine?
Yeah.
No.
No?
Not at all.
Okay. No. Well, that's pretty dead end. And my final question is, living on the road can draw negative incidents. Are there any in particular where you felt particularly threatened?
Absolutely. I mean, we were at a place called Ford Lane, near Paddock Wood area of the planet, and we were just in there, three caravans, and suddenly we're aware that there were Land Rovers outside, and then we could hear guns being shot, and people had come down, they were drunk, and they had 12-bore shotguns, and they were just taking pot shots around the site. Had a washing line stretched out between my trailer and the neighbour's trailer, and in the morning you see all of the gunshot through the T-shirt that was hanging on the line.
Wow.
Well, I said to, because they created a lot of commotion, and the people that lived up the road phoned the police, and the police turned up. By which time these guys had gone, and I said to them, I said, what if I'd been wearing that T-shirt? They would have murdered me. And she turned around and she said, well, no, it probably would have just been manslaughter. I was like, what? I can't even be murdered. Do you know what I mean? I have to just be manslaughtered or whatever. But they came back again. And what they were doing was intimidating us. They'd had the permission of the landowner, because the police turned up with the second When they turned up the second time, the police were waiting for them. And they came, and what had happened was they shot a rabbit and tried to cook it on some fire they'd started with diesel or something. And the police came, and they couldn't do anything to them because they had the landowner's permission to be there.
Yeah.
And they said, quote, unquote, they'd come down to shoot vermin. Apparently rabbits are vermin. Jeez. But you could the undertone there,
yeah,
as you can plainly, yeah, see, was the fact that,
yeah,
indeed, was that we were actually what they were trying to intimidate, sort, yeah, of thing. But yeah, I was absolutely gobsmacked, as I said to the police officer, surely you can arrest this person for being drunk in charge of a firearm. Apparently that isn't actually a thing, or wasn't at the time.
Oh.
This was early 90s, before Lolly was born, so it would have been 1990, I think.
Ooh,
and another time when Lolly was about 6 months, so I mean, there's been a few times where I've felt threatened. There's been quite a few times, to be fair, where I've felt well worried. When Lolly and we just pulled onto a new site, all the men had gone off, it was just Lolly and I. She's 6 months old, I was feeding her a mashed banana, and this guy came to the door. He said, you need to get all your caravans out of here, off of here, by this evening, otherwise we're bringing the Irish in, and they're going to torch you out. Right. So, obviously I felt quite vulnerable there. I finished feeding Lolly the mashed banana. By the time I'd finished feeding her, I was so angry, I could feel steam pouring out of my ears. I had white rage. And I went up to him and I said, don't you ever threaten to murder my daughter and I. Ever. Okay, how, yeah, dare you? Do you know what I mean? I said, like...
What if father did?
You need to be... Well, he was out. He was out at, Jesus, the time, like, with all the men there. Because we were moving onto the site. We'd literally just turned up. And it was just Lolly and I there. When he came back, he wasn't very happy about it, obviously. But the guy had gone by then. But I'd gone up to the guy and I says, you want to be careful, mate, because you've got a lot more to lose and you're a lot easier to find than any of us lot. So you be careful about who you go threatening to murder. How dare you? How very dare you? Yeah. I could tell you so many stories along those lines, you know. But I tell you what's really nice, though, when it does come to when the chips are down and it's all going wrong, and is when folk, like, show you kindness. Like this last eviction that we've had from Cobrack Car Park.
Yeah.
It's all the ladies and the gypsies down at St Day said, Sal, come and pull on with us. You pull on to our site. You've got nowhere to go. Come and pull on. And that's just really nice because there you've got cross-community support there. Because,
uh-huh,
I'm what you might call a new age traveller, although we do have a Romany name. Most probably have got Romany blood. You know, but these guys, you know, were more than happy to welcome us in our hour of need to their home, for us to go there, and it's just puts your faith back in human nature, like when stuff like that happens.
Yeah, it certainly does. Better than being shot at.
Yeah, loads better than being shot at or threatened to be barbecued.
Yeah.
Yeah, unreal, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for doing the interview.
No worries. Thank you, Ollie.
You're welcome.